Shavuot Tov world. Today's daf in Sechet Gittin is daf Yud Aleph, and I think we got up to Yud Amud Beis, and we were right up to right after the Shmuel Dinah Malchus Adina, and we were talking about, let's see. We got up to Afiluk Sheirim. I think because this is such a complex sugya that it's necessary to just get a broader view. So if you don't mind, I know it's a little bit iffy on Mitzvah Shabbos to take a little extra time, but I think it's worth it. Let's start at the mission again so that we can get an overall view, because this is a very, very multiple level sugya, which there's many issues that we need to consider. So let's take a look at it again. So the Mishnah said, "Kol ha'shtarot ha'olim ba'arkaot shu'avdei kochavim, alfa pishachotmeim avdei kochavim kisherim." So in a remarkable din, the Mishnah says that if you have a non-Jewish court that is an official court, it's an arkaot, so it's like this, you know, state court of New York, whatever, then even though the contract is signed by avdei kochavim, nonetheless it's kosher. Just by the way, you should know there's a general question about whether Edim that are not Jewish are necessarily possible midiraisa. This is a big machlokas bichlal, because there are many Rishonim who hold that Miikra din their kosher for Edis, the Rabbanan possible them because we just don't trust them. That's a different issue. But the question over here is that it's a supposedly a legal document, even though it was made by Goyim and signed by Goyim. The only thing that wouldn't be kosher is Kitein Hashim Shikurei Avadim. We're over there. Obviously, the shtar itself has to be done. Let's assume. It's not really true, but let's assume. The shtar has to be done a Shema, and it has to be a kosher get, and so on. We'll see that things are not that simple at all. Rabbi Shimon Omer Af Elu Kesherim. It's not true. Even Gitim are kosher. Lo Huskur El Bizmanchen Asu Behedyot. The only problem that we have is when they weren't made by an official court. So let's just remember what lies behind the issues over here. The question is, normally when we have a shtar, there's two different types of shtarot. Let's just remember. We have shtarot that are there as ra'ayot. So these are shtarot that are just attest to the fact that something took place. They don't create. They're not performative in any way. They don't create the din. A get, obviously, is much more than a document that attests to the fact that a woman was divorced. The get is the medium of the divorce. The same thing would be true, let's say, about a shtar that is a matana. I by these presences, I do hereby grant you such and such a field, right? Now, that is achieved by the shtar. So there's a shtar which is a kinyan. Same thing would be true, let's say, by a shtar for kedushin. The shtar is the way that the person achieves the kedushin. Now, in all such cases, remember that we have a secondary question about what the purpose is of the edim on the shtar. So that according to Rabbi Meir, the edim on the shtar is what it's all about. They're the thing that makes the shtar a valid shtar. That's called edei chatima karte, and the same thing is true of the get. And the edim sign on the get. As a matter of fact, remember that according to Rabbi Meir, that's the only part that needs to be lishma, because they are the things that actually create the performative aspect of the contract. According to Rabbi Elazar, we don't need edim on a shtar at all. Actually, what makes the shtar a kosher shtar is the fact that there were edim in front of whom it was given. So you give a get that is not signed in front of witnesses, as Eide Mesira, the Eide Mesira create the actual divorce. In which case, you would think that it makes absolutely no difference to us if there are Eidim on the shtar or not. The only reason, as Rabbi Elazar actually articulated her last week when we learned it, is because we want to make sure that this woman has access to people that can attest to the gerushin in the event that her husband makes her trouble, right? And that's really the only reason we do it, a little bit of Rebbe Elazar, but it's not really important. Now, taking those things into consideration, when it comes to something that was done in a non-Jewish court. So let's look at it from the point of view of Rabbi Elazar. Actually, the fact that it was done in the non-Jewish court and it's signed by non-Jewish witnesses, in the event that it's an attesting type of shtar instead of a performative shtar, actually, who the heck cares if there were a mesira, right? So in other words, since a shtar anyway, I mean, a normal shtar of an IOU or something like that, it doesn't need to be written a shma, it doesn't need to be put into effect by people that know what they're doing. So if there was such a document, then if it was given over by someone to someone else, and there's kosher Jewish witnesses that it was given over, so who cares? You know, it's like, so it was printed by a computer. So the Goyish Accord is a computer. Okay, but if you have Edom Isira, it should be kosher. The problem is, if you recall, that we have one additional layer to this issue. And that is, as we learned, according to Rabbi Elazar, it's worse if you do have witnesses than if you don't have witnesses. Because if you don't have witnesses, then it's clear that the kashrus of the shtar was because of the Edom Isira. But the moment that you do have witnesses, if there's a problem with that witness, then you're in worse a situation than you would have been otherwise, because that is called mizuyaf mitocho. So let's say you would have a non-kosher witness on a shtar, and then people will say, hey, wait a minute, this shtar is no good. They attempted to create the shtar by using a puzzle witness. And therefore, what might happen? So in the event that that's not known, so then someone may say, oh, well, this witness was on a perfectly kosher shtar that I saw. He's a kosher witness because he was accepted in the court. They'll use him for another shtar, assuming that he's a kosher witness, right? Now, the same thing would be true over here. If I don't have any witnesses, so then we're talking about making something kosher based on the Edom Isira. But the moment that I put a witness on it, then it's easy to make the mistake that the shtar was kosher because of the witness. And therefore, even Rabbi Elazar would agree that we need to worry, Midrabbanan, about that mistake. So now let's think about our Mishnah. In the case of our Mishnah, let's say we have Gitei Noshim v'Shechrurei Avonim. Now, it shouldn't really matter to us if it's clear that this is a non-Jewish court. It shouldn't matter to us whether it's signed by someone or not. Because, basically, everyone would understand that if these witnesses are goyim, and it's marked as a non-Jewish court, that obviously they weren't using this get based on those goyim. They were using this get based on Edei Mesira. So what probably happened, and that would be the case here in the Mishnah as well, what probably happened, a kosher sofer wrote the get, and it was given over, it was all done l'shma, everything was done fine. Then the get was handed over to the woman by the husband, and there were Edei Mesira that saw that taking place. So basically, it's a completely kosher get. So let's try to imagine a situation where the court, the non-Jewish court, will recognize a Jewish divorce as a religious document, but they will not allow Jews to sign on it as if that's what makes it the document. They will issue a secular civil approval of a get that was given over as a get. So they'll take the get, they'll stamp it in a circuit court of New York State, whatever, sign it with goyim, and now the get was given over in front of Edei Mesira. In a place like that, would there be any problem of making that get kosher just because the court added their signature to it? L'chora not, especially if we know for a fact that that court is a court in a country that refuses to allow Jews to sign. So then you say to yourself, okay, I mean, obviously what happened here is not that someone pretended to bring a get from a non-Jewish court. What happened was that this was a get. It was a kosher get. There were Edei Mesira. And obviously the goyim that are stamped all over this thing, that's like the government issue, just to make sure that the government recognizes it again so that the woman will be allowed to remarry and so on, but not because they relied on this get. Now, the truth is later on, we're going to see that that's exactly the din, and that nobody argues about that. If it's a country where Jews aren't allowed to sign, and this is the only way that a woman is going to be able to be recognized as a divorcee by the civil court, so then of course everybody's going to understand that all of these goyim, I'm never going to take one of these witnesses and use them on a real contract. That's for sure. So now the reason that we're saying over here, chutz migitei nashim v'shechruri avodim, l'chora would be because we are nervous that the people that are signed therein would be used for another contract. And that's a gezeira, because it's mezuyef mitocho, right? But now the question is, so then why are other shtarot okay on things other than simply raya shtarot? Namely, let's say, a shtar matana. So that's what our Gemara handled on Erev Shabbos, which we spoke of on, actually, sorry, I should say on Shavuos. So not everybody was there. Okay, so anyway, it's good that we're going over this. Okay. Now, Rabbi Shimon says, even Gittin are kosher. So why would that be true? Apparently, Rabbi Shimon is saying that we don't need to worry about mezuyef mitocho for some reason. And we're not worried that you're going to be reusing the signatories on this document and trust it them because they're signed on again. Why not? So the Gemara is going to end up saying the reason why not is because we're talking about where the signatories signed with names that would never be used by a Jew. And therefore, it's clear to everyone that these are non-Jews that are signed. And therefore, nobody's going to make the mistake of using these witnesses for anything else. And they are going to say, well, okay, obviously there were Edei Mesira, that this was given in front of the Edei Mesira. And this is just that they had a court sign on it, maybe whatever, to avoid lawsuits or, you know, to collect the property, you know, in divorce court, whatever. But nobody's going to make that mistake. That's in the end what it is that Rabbi Shimon is saying. And it turns out that the real machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim here about whether we could even use a civil court's get is simply based on this very straightforward question. Do we say that it's good enough that the signatories are so clearly goyim that we don't have to worry about mezuyef mitocho because everybody knows that this is really a get done with Edei Mesira? Or do we make a gezeira, an overall gezeira? Look, we just don't take gittim from civil courts, even if it's pretty obvious. We're always afraid for the one chance out of a million that somebody's going to be dumb enough to make the mistake of using these same witnesses who are goyim as the Edei Mesira in some other case, right? Okay, that would be a very straightforward machlokas. So let's take a look at how the Gemara develops the sugya so that we can see the different cases and what the layers are of issues that we need to take into consideration. So first of all, the Gemara points out that if you say every type of document is kosher, except for a get or a shtar shechrur, and remember that the reason that the shtar shechrur is considered to be the same as a get is because the Torah writes v'kasav lo sefer kritut, and when it comes to the din of a shichrur of an Evet Knani, although it's talking about a Shifcha Knani, but it's the same halacha, chufsha lo nitan la. Okay, so that's la, la. In both cases, it has to be the Shema. It can't be some event between the Ktiva and the Nitina, so it can't be b'mechuber, and so on and so forth. All of those dinim would apply across the board. So now the question is, if we are including in the Mishnah not only normal shtarot of, let's say, a deed to a property, which is a raya that you own the property, but even a matana, because it said the only types of shtarot that are different is only a get and a shtar shichro, right? Get shichro. So now, that's a problem. Because if you're talking about a sale, okay, a sale, the contract is nothing but a proof of ownership. Fine. So if the government wants to give you a recognized deed, I understand. So that's a recognized deed for whatever reason. But how in the world could you use a civil court's contract to create the kinyan in the Torah, which the person is going to be kain of the matana from, since it's a gift, there was no transference of funds, so there was no kinyan bekesev. So what was the kinyan made out of? The shtar. But the shtar is useless. So Bishlam HaMecher says, basically the judges witnessed the purchase. The guy took money, gave it to the other person, and now the judges sign, we issue this contract because we know that A purchased this field from B. Okay, so then the shtar is only a raya. So it's there as evidence of it taking place. So the reason that we accept such a thing is because since it's an official court, they cannot tolerate perjury in any way because that would undermine them and it would even subject them to prosecution. And therefore, we could be sure that they're not going to issue a false document that would destroy them ultimately, and it's too dangerous for them. So we trust them. This is basically like a chazaka. It's a chazaka that this must have taken place because a real court would never have allowed this document to be given out. So we're going to rely on that. Lo havimare nafshayo, they wouldn't have destroyed their career and write out a phony shtar, the katvina leishtara. So therefore, they're supposed to actually be very honest, right? I mean, that's what they pretend to be. So the question is, as far as the Eidus is concerned, so over here, there's really many Rishonim, as I mentioned to you before, many Rishonim hold that in terms of Eidus, Eidus is actually midiraisa. It's certainly kosher. Doesn't say anywhere that Eidim have to be Jewish. Okay, Tosis, it's mashma, not like that. And there's some other Rishonim who say not like that. And nonetheless, if we have a nice reason to trust them, so we're looking at evidence. We're not looking at real Eidus. And this becomes a raya because of the evidence. And therefore, fine. But a matana is not evidence. A matana is a medium of transfer. And it has to, therefore, be a kosher shtar. So how exactly, b'mai kakani, how did he get this field? Lav b'hashtara? He only got this field because of this shtar. But this shtar is a piece of garbage. Hashtara chaspa b'yomuhu. It's like just a blank piece of paper or blank piece of chaspa, which is a shard of cheres. So how in the world would you be able to use this? So now, again, there's a secondary issue over here, which is, why can't we say that the reason that it's his is because there was Eidei Mesira? And it would be the same idea. So couldn't we have been Samech on Eidei Mesira? In which case, why would we care about the shtar being chaspa b'yama? So fine, Rashi says that the reason is because it was a dochuk to say it, and we don't want to make everything go only according to Rebbe Lazar, because later on we're going to be saying that Rebbe Shimon is the one who's going to Rebbe Lazar. Tosis disagrees with that, and he says that the reason we say it shtar chaspa b'yama is the overall din. Namely, even if there were Eidei Mesira, we passeled any shtar that has a goyish witness on it. Why? Because of the chashash that will be samech on this witness to be the Eidei Mesira. So therefore, we're taking that into consideration in saying that it's chaspa b'yama. Now again, according to Tosfos that I just mentioned before, that the Tosfos holds that goyim are not able to be made even midiraisa, which Tosfos says earlier. So over here, Tosfos says, actually, the Gemara could have said that hashtar chaspa b'yalma, because instead of saying that, it could have said that they're not kosher l'edus anyway, right? Okay. So that he says later on. In any event, Shmuel gives his amazing answer. The reason that we can use this shtar is because dina de malchusa dina. So since even in terms of the halacha and the Torah, we give the right of a government to be koveya when it comes to dinim, because after all, goyim are also shayach to dinim. So therefore, they're kosher documents. And it's not a problem. They would be kosher for us also, even to be a shtar that is performative. But that would only be in terms of dinim. because goyim are also chayav in dinim. However, when it comes to gittin v'kiddushin, where goyim are not in the teras gittin v'kiddushin, or shichurei avadim, because they cannot own avadim, so because of that, there's this difference. And indeed, shtarei matana are included in the overall set of shtarot that a civil court is believed in because of dinam achuz adina. Or maybe we would not allow a performative mecher, matana, from a civil court. And the truth is that we got the gears a little bit wrong. And instead of saying that gitei noshim and shechurei avadim are the only ones that are not included in the set of kosher shtarot in a secular court, it should have said, or anything like them. Ke gitei noshim, not just gitei noshim, but ke gitei noshim, meaning any performative shtar is not acceptable. Only a shtar that is there as a raya is acceptable. And the only reason it's acceptable is because we really take it as a raya because it was issued by an official court, and therefore these people cannot afford to end up destroying their careers by putting out a phony contract. But if it wasn't in an official court and you just got a few goyim together, obviously you could just pay them to sign whatever it is that you tell them to sign. You're ready to pay enough to sign for. So there, we wouldn't trust them because stam, there would be no reason to trust them, even if the government was ready to accept them. So we would need, besides Dina de Malchus of Dina, but we need to know that there's a reason for them not to be saying sheker. That's a different issue. Okay. That's a bit of a machlokas. You know, what would be if the government specified that you should accept a testimony of any three people, or you can have a jury, some kind of idiotic thing like that. Anyway, you take nine black people off of the street and you say, do you think this guy is chayav misa because of the fact that he used the N-word? Absolutely. And then we'll kill him. Okay. So that's not precisely the way to get a mishpat. Okay. So that we have two. So now remember, at this point already, we have two possibilities. Either that we will accept a secular court for all things that would be encompassed by the meaning of dinim, even performative shtarot, which include handing over a property. And the only case where we couldn't accept it is where there is no din of teras gittin or gerushin or kiddushin or shechurei avadim that court is shayach to, and memela, anything that they write has no validity. The other approach is we won't trust the secular court if it isn't just as evidence, as a shtar raya, but we won't trust them even for monetary transference, only for proof of occurrence. That's what we'll trust them for. So far we have these two approaches in the Ibayit Ema. Now let's think about Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon makes what appears to be an outrageous statement. We will even trust a secular court for a get. A get? Ask the Gemara, v'halav b'nei kritut minu. How can goyim create a get when they're not included in any of the dinim of the katavla sefer kritut? So it doesn't make sense that they should be able to write an effective get and sign an effective get. So how can Rabbi Shimon hold such a thing? Omer Rabbi Zera, obviously, Rabbi Shimon is not saying that the secular get is kosher. It's because this was a kosher get that was given over in front of kosher witnesses. And since Yorad Rabbi Shimon, the Shitatosha Rabbi Elazar, so since Rabbi Shimon fully encompasses Rabbi Elazar Shita, namely, Edei Misira Karte, that the only thing that actually creates the chorus in the get, as opposed to Rabbi Meir Shita, is the Edim in front of whom you gave it over. So that's what made it kosher. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Shehakol Nehiyeh B'Dvaro. Now, of course, that leads us to a problem. But didn't we say before that Amar Baba, that Rabbi Elazar is Meida, that in the case where there are witnesses, that's worse than if there weren't any witnesses. In other words, if you have witnesses that are signed on the document, Then we have this gezeira. Maybe you'll use those witnesses to actually affect it as the Eid of Mesira, because you'll think they're kosher witnesses. So, I mean, nobody argued on that, that Rabbi Lazar holds that we need to have kosher witnesses if we have witnesses. You're right, says the Gemara. But what we're talking about over here is b'shemot muvakim. So as we said before, if you have names that are never used by Jews, so then we don't have a problem, because it's not considered to be mezuyah futocho, because what are the chances that somebody is going to take a guy signed as Adolf Hitler and use him as a kosher signature on a get or on a contract, right? What do we mean by those kind of names? Hechidami shemot muvakim. Amrif Papa, look, let's say Hormiz, Avudina, Bar Shiptai, Bar Kidri, Bati, Nakim, Una. These, says Rashi, were all actual names of known dayanim. And if people like this are assigned, then obviously these are people that are not Jewish and nobody's going to use it. By the way, it's very interesting that Tosfos changes the gears of Hormiz to Hermin, which of course is a Jewish name nowadays. Herman, everybody knows. Herman is a very Jewish name, right? So it's a bit of a problem. There's the Gemara that talks about Hermin and Hormiz, and Tosfos' Girsa as being the Zoroastrian gods, and the Hermin, the Hermin is the devil of, he's the one that's in charge from your waist down, you know, and the Hormiz, that's from your waist up. Anyway, okay, it's just fascinating. Also, there's a different, the strange girsa of whether Bar Shipti is supposed to be, the girsa in Artosis is all messed up, because he says that, no, it should say Bar Shaptai, because Shipti, of course, is the exact opposite. The Shaptai is the Jewish name, so they changed the girsa to Tosfos. Anyway, okay, it's just a side piece. We don't have time to have fun that much, because it's pretty late. So, all right, so now, in other words, Rabbi Shimon holds, yes, the get is kosher, but only if the Shemot move Hakim. And therefore, what is the machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanon boiled down to when it comes to the question of Gitei Nashim that are issued by a secular court? Whether we're going to make a gezeira, Aliba the Rebbe Lazar, who says that the shtar that was given in front of Eidei Mesira, that that's what makes it kosher, we don't even need the Eidim. In the case where the Eidim are clearly not Jewish, is that also a problem of Mezuyef Mitocho, since nobody's going to end up making the mistake of using them, or not? That's also Rabbi Shimon says, if it's clearly Shemot Muvakim of Goyim, nobody's going to make a mistake, and therefore, according to Rabbi Lazar, this is a perfectly kosher kind of get. Now, wait a minute. So according to Rabbi Shimon, what are you saying, says the Gemara? That if they were Shemot She'enan Muvakim, then you would agree? Shemot She'enan Muvakim, what are you telling us? That, no, even according to Rabbi Shimon, such a get is possible, correct? But then why would Rabbi Shimon end the Mishnah with the words, Adatani Seifa, the only time that we say that gittin that are signed by a goy is possible is if they were issued by a private court and not by a arkaot. So shenasu behed yod. He's got people together as a court. But mashma, I mean that if there, that is the only time that you could say that it's possible, but that's not true. Liflog v'listening b'didah, Rabbi Shimon should have said, when did they say they're possible? In a case where the names were not 100% not true. I mean, that's what we're talking about. Look, if the whole machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachomi are in this point, are we worried about people making the mistake of thinking that Goyish names are nonetheless Jews, and therefore they'll end up using them? That's the machlokas. So then Rabbi Shimon should have made it very clear. Of course, I agree with you that in a case where the names are not necessarily non-Jewish, that then we have to worry about Mizuyef Mitocho, right? I mean, that would be the natural way of ending it. That's the main point. Well, says the Gemara, that's basically what he's saying. Huh? Yeah, what he's saying is like this. Achinami ka'omar. Bamed varma murim. When do we say that a get that comes from a secular court, that that is kosher. I'm only saying that b'shemot muvakim. But if it would be shemot she'inan muvakim, then that would be the same as a shtar that was nasa behedyot. And since it was nasa behedyot, it would be posel. Whew. Weird way to say that, isn't it? Now, here is where I want to explain something which I think is very important for us to get a grasp of the broader sugya, because we need to understand why it would be that he would make such a weird statement instead of saying straight out what we're talking about, which is the question of Shemot Mufakim, to make this very strange comparison to if it were made behedyot, which is not what we're talking about. So now the question is, what does he mean with nasek mi shenasu behedyot upsuli? When it comes to gittin, okay, does it make any difference to us whether it's nasa behedyot or it's nasa be'arkaot? None whatsoever. Because basically, according to Rabbi Shimon, the whole point is that if we have Shemot Muvhakim, so then we also know that this shtar was made only in terms of Edei Mesira, and therefore it should make no difference to us whether it comes from the official court of New York State or whether it just has some kind of nonsensical thing written on it of three people to have got together as a people's court in the China. Basically, we understand if there's a signature on a get that is a clear goy, so then we know that that just was put there as an additional secular issue, but that this is a normal get that was given over with Edei Mesira, and there's no problem of Mizuyef Mitocho because of the clarity of its being a goyish name. Because that's what Rabbi Shimon's Svara is, right? And therefore, when you're telling me if it's b'shemot she'inan muvakim, that then we're going to give it the din as if it were like other things that were in a non-professional court, which over there we said we will not accept because of the fact that we don't trust them. Since they don't have anything to lose, they're not going to bust their career if they're caught in having put out a shtar that is a lie. And the only time that we said that we can rely on them is in the case where they are professionals. So that would mean the way to understand what Rabbi Shimon is saying is the only time that we mentioned the difference between Gittin Nashim is in a case where it's Shemot Muvakim. But if it weren't Shemot Muvakim, it would be like other shtarot that would have been done in a private court. Now that implies that in a private court, even if it were b'shemot muvhakim, but it was not about gittim and shtar shichrur, that Rabbi Shimon is meida, and this is the big chiddush of his putting it this way, that Rabbi Shimon is meida that it's not kosher, despite the fact that even though there were Edei Mesira, and it's clear that these goyim have signed on it, afal pi kein, when it comes to the lesser problem of a shtar raya, right? Just a shtar mecher, not a shtar matana, that Rabbi Shimon would agree that such a shtar is possible. Now that's a rather dramatic statement. Why would it be true? Again, if Rabbi Shimon is saying that if you do not have Shemot Muvakim, instead of straightforward telling me it wouldn't be kosher, he uses the most insane roundabout way of saying that. And what he says is it would be the same as a deed of ownership that was put out by a court that was not a professional court. Well, who's talking about that? I understand. Up until now, the reason is really important to understand this is because up until now, we've been talking about two completely different sets of issues. One set of issues was the question of a court that does not have Edei Mesira, and it's talking about a a professionally, legally, meaning a government court that does not have any Eidim Mesira and that issues a document as to there being a deed on a contract. Remember, I mentioned to you that there's even significance to these kinds of documents when it would come to the questions of a death certificate, right? Can a woman get remarried if there's a goyish get certificate by the town coroner and so on? So this is the general question of whether we can rely on professionals where they have everything to lose if things aren't done legally. So this has nothing to do with Eidei Mesira. This is one set of issues that gets involved in Dina de Malchusa Dina. We have a totally different set of issues here. And on the surface, there is no relationship between them, which is why this sugya is so confusing. The other element is the set of documents that are performative and are nogea things, just to make it absolutely different, and are nogea things that the goyim do not have any rights to deal with because they're not included in those mitzvahs, as opposed to dinim. There is a middle area between these two of performative shtarot where we might even allow them to issue a shtar of matana. That was a question of the two lashonos. Maybe a shtar matana would be part of dina de malchuta dina, and it would be enough, or maybe not. But let's leave that case, a transitional case, out. First, do we understand the two utterly different sets? The second set of shtar, which is a get and a shichron, that involves cases specifically where we do have Eidei Mesira, as opposed to the first set, which is talking about goyisha courts where we do not have an Eidei Mesira, and we only have goyisha witnesses, okay? There's nothing in common between these two cases, between these two sets. So the second set is talking about you had a Jewish sofer, write a get, and you have Eidei Mesira who are kosher Jews in front of whom the get was given. And the only problem on the get is the fact that it has non-kosher goyisha witnesses signed on it. Is that a problem? It's a separate issue. That's a question of whether the very fact that they're going apostle it, not the first issue, which is the fact that they're going, could that make it kosher specifically? It's the exact opposite, correct? So when Rabbi Shimon comes along, and we hope Gabi doesn't miss this, when Rabbi Shimon comes along and he interrelates the two sugyas, he's doing something that is very strange, because the last thing that you'd want to do is compare a member of the second set, a get, that is done without Shemot Muvakim, and to compare that for some weird reason to the cases of the first set, which are done in a non-professional court. There's nothing in common between them, for heaven's sakes. The non-professional court, we were talking about in terms of, can it make something kosher? And here we're talking about the very fact that it's a goy, can it passle it if it's not clearly a goy? Is that clear? It's so essential to grasp the differences here. So we're talking about a very strange way of talking. Why would we talk that way? Why would Rabbi Shimon, instead of saying simply, if it's not Shemot Muvakim, then you need to worry about Mezuyef Mitocho, compare that for some reason to something off the wall? Compare it to other contracts, like a deed of ownership that was issued by a non-official court. Is that a good question? I think it's a very good question, because it helps clarify the issues that we're dealing with. The answer to this question is itself a very profound help to understanding what is going on. So the question is, why indeed, and Tosis asks this question, why indeed, in the event that we're talking about a shtar that was issued by a non-official court, and it's signed by goyim, 100% goyim, and therefore there's no problem of utilizing these goyim. I understand why we can't utilize it as a proof, but what if it had kosher edei mesira? So if it had kosher edei mesira, why would a get be kosher with edei mesira, with shemot muvakim, but a simple thing like a deed of sale would not be kosher with edei mesira if it's written by a non-professional court? Why would that be? And that is the crux of the matter, gentlemen. The reason that that might be, says Tosfos, is because once we have allowed professional courts to issue documents on the basis of our trusting them because they have too much to lose to perjure themselves, then we need to make a gezeira that we cannot utilize non-professional courts, even when we have edei mesira. Because people don't realize that the reason that we're trusting them is because of the perjury issue. They think that it's kosher. So therefore, even though there's no problem of mezuyef bitocho, the moment that we would allow a shtar like that to come out of a non-professional court, people will think that they could even take a document from a non-professional court the same way that they take a deed of sale from the official government court. And they cannot, you see? So that means that the same gezeira that the Rabbanan make of mezuyef mitocho, that people are likely to make the mistake of utilizing the wrong witness, they will make the mistake of thinking the same thing over here, not to use the wrong witness in a different thing, but to use the wrong witness in this thing, because they won't know that a non-professional court is by definition useless. Therefore, what Rabbi Shimon is trying to show you is that it is not a coincidence that we have these two things in the same Mishnah, and that first we put them together as if there's only one question about accepting non-Jewish documents, when in reality, the moment when we start thinking about it, we see, wait a second over here, you're putting these things together just to confuse us? They have nothing in common. Ultimately, they have a great deal in common. Because the gezeira that maybe you'll end up utilizing the witnesses, which is the gezeira of mezuyef mitocho, aliba the Rebbe Elazar, is precisely the same gezeira for why you cannot use a non-official goyish court for things even where you do have edei mesira, because you may end up using it where you don't. That's the point. So in the end, the two sugyas are very similar in their sensitivity to what kilkul can come out of it. In order to bring that out, Rabbi Shimon brilliantly, instead of telling you straight out, but of course, where it wouldn't be shemot muvakim, it wouldn't be good, he says the craziest thing which forces you to understand all of this. If you wouldn't have shemot muvakim, then you might as well have been relying on this the way you would on a bill of sale in a private court. And then you think, what? Oh, right? So that is really the key to understanding the interrelationships of the two sugyas. I think it's really wonderful. Gentlemen, you need to review this and to get a clarity of it, because this sugya is going to be with us for a bit, okay? So that's one approach. The other approach is that actually Rabbi Shimon never even said this. The closing words of the Mishnah may not be Rabbi Shimon's words. The last part of the Mishnah may simply be an extension of the Rabbanan's word. The Rabbi Shimon interrupted and said, no, even Gittin Ashim is the same. And then we get back to the closure of the Rabbanan, who said, except for Gittin Ashim and Shechri Avodim, because the only shtarot that are not good is Gite Momen, Vachikomer. Lo huskru Gite Momen de Psulim. The only time that we would say that a financial contract is possible is Bisman Shinasu Behedyat, when they were made in a non-official court. Now, the question of whether does this refer even to Shtar Matan or not, that depends on the two approaches that we said before on Amid Beis. Are Shtare Matana acceptable in terms of Dina de Malchus Adina or not? Fine. So now we understand we have two clear-cut different sets. one set where we have two approaches. Perhaps they're included in set A, perhaps they're included in set B. And then the distinctions that need to be made are between the types of signatures, meaning the types of names, and the types of courts. Are they official courts or are they unofficial courts? And obviously that will make a difference if it's part of the performative, then we know we need to be talking about Ede Mesira. And if it's part of the official court, we know that we cannot rely on Ede Mesira, actually, because of the possibility of making a mistake of utilizing a non-professional court, and therefore Ede Mesira out of the running over there. And the only thing that bothers us is the type of court and not the type of Edim. Good? I hope so. Review this 100 times, and we can meet for the 101st time tomorrow if we are so zoche. Okay. Tanya, now, let us look at what the raya is that Rabbi Shimon wants to bring to what he said, that fundamentally, Gitei Nashim and Shechruri Avadim are kosher even in the event that's not kosher for Tnufa Barnea. Get yourself, please, plastic is not usable for klishores. Get back there and get yourself a decent klishores. If you want to, just do the Tnufa.
One moment.
And I have Akiva and Gavi on my side, so don't start up. I hope I do anyway.
Clay Evans from Beit Sheni.
Oh, okay. That's hard to argue with. But I doubt that it's a klisharis with Beit Sheni. It's Kliavonim is just to prove
it. Yeah. I understand. That was in the ballpark.
No, it is cute. It is cute. I must admit. Okay. So I'll show you that I'm right, that fundamentally, it's absolutely possible to rely on Ede Mesira. And here's my raya. Because look at this braisa. Omar Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yossi, kach Omar Rabbi Shimon l'chachon b'tzidon. The braisa explains what Rabbi Shimon's raya is. He said to them, look, it's all very nice that you have your opinion, but they're bigger chachomim than you. I mean, you know, a generation or two ago, we had Rabbi Akiva. And we know that the Rabbi Akiva and the Chachomim who argued about this issue, they did not argue. Al kol ashtarot ba'arkaot shel avdei kochavim, she'af al-pi shechotmeihem avdei kochavim kisherim. There was no question. Everybody agreed, Rabbi Akiva, the Chachomim, for sure, if you have a kosher court of goyim, then even gitei noshim v'shechrurei avadim are no problem. And that, therefore, that means that we are clearly being semich on the Ede Mesira, and it doesn't bother us that we have these other people signed on it, even in this case. So when was there a machlokes? Well, nechleku elabizman shenasu behedyot. They only were talking about where there were shtaros that were made not in a official court, where over there Rabbi Akiva is also machshir. He holds it doesn't have to be official. The bottom line is if a court issues a phony document, they're going to be charged with perjury. They can get into trouble. I don't care whether it's official or not. You don't have to lose your career. It's bad enough that you're open to prosecution. And therefore, he says that you could even use them for that. Whereas the Chachamim say, no, you can't use them for that. The only thing that you can use them for is Gitei Noshim V'Shechrurei Avadim. Obviously, because everybody knows that that needs to be kosher with Ede Mesira, and therefore who cares whether it's an official court or it's not an official court, and only, obviously, because they are signed by someone that is a goy, and therefore we don't care if it was Mizuyef Bitocho. So you see I'm right? Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, af eluk sherim, even gitim, and shtarei shichra or kosher, even according to the Chachamim, everybody agrees, in a place, and this is the case that I mentioned to you earlier, in a location where Jews are not allowed to sign. So, af eluk sherim, b'makom she'en Yisrael chotmim, over there, the Rabbanan are also made it, because everybody knows that in the Soviet Union, let's say, you weren't allowed to sign if you were a Jew. And therefore, there must be Edim, that make it kosher through Ede Mesira, and the court appended these witnesses to it in order for it to be a locally kosher, so to speak, legal. I shouldn't use the word kosher because it's confusing, but a locally legal document so that she would be able to get remarried in a church, you know? Avo mamokim she Yisrael chotmim. If it's in a country where Jews can sign, so then we have the problem that the Rabbanan hold that if, even if it's Shemot Muvakim, we don't trust it because people may come to use it even if it's not Shemot Muvakim. Fine. Now that means that the Rabbanan made an interesting gezerah. They made a gezerah that you cannot use any type of get, any type of contract where the goy is signed on it, if it's a get shechur or a get isha, even though they're Shemot Muvakim, because maybe people will utilize Shemot Muvakim as well. So they were gezer Shemot Muvakim out to Shemot She'enam Muvakim, right? But the question is, why didn't they make the same gezerah in this case? Why don't they make the same gezerah in the case where they, maybe if we allow you to use it in the Soviet Union where Jews are not allowed to sign, so maybe you'll accept such a get even in a place where Jews are allowed to sign. I mean, there you'll, why didn't they make the same takana? Isn't it the same takana? Answer, so ask the brothers to see that inside. Why didn't they make that takana? They should make the same gezerah, because maybe you'll get to use a get from a place where Jews do sign, and in a place where Jews do sign, then we have the problem of misery of mitocho. Answers the Gemara, because, listen, it's easy to get confused about what's Jewish name, what's not a Jewish name, but everybody knows if it's a Soviet Union, then they didn't allow Jews to sign, that's all. People don't get confused between one place and another place. So atra b'atra lo machlif, even though shma b'shma are machlif. Now Ravina, he wanted to be machshir, even if you had a shtar that came out of a knufiyata de armai. So this was like, they just, you know, we call it a knufiyah, which is what we call a gang now, right? So, okay, so you got together a bunch of these gangsters, literally knufiyata, as they're like, you know, they're officially the usable for judges, so to speak, and you get together people. And he wanted to utilize such a thing because of the fact that it was a public event. It was a knufiyata, and they wouldn't sign on something that was false. We're not talking about a get. We're not talking about something that is performative. We're just talking about the Iker Din of its being a raya. And Raphram said to him, no, it's not going to help you. The fact that it's public, that doesn't help. The Mishnah said only something that's gone through an official court. Arka Otnan. You don't have a right to extend this into Knufiyata. Oh, my Rava, what if you have a Persian shtar? So it was written in Persian. Witnesses sign it who are Persian. And it wasn't done over here in public. It was something that was made in front of Ede Mesira, who were Jews. It was given over in front of Ede Mesira and so on. And whether such a thing is kosher or not raises a number of different issues. Rava says it doesn't matter, because if you gave them over in front of Jewish witnesses, the Masri and Leba Api Sahari, so then you can use this as a contract. You can't use it as a contract to collect from the Chosim Mishu'ubadim, where they have a lien on them, but you can use it as a contract where they don't have a lien on them. So Magmina Bey, if it's B'nai Chori, fine. But wait a minute. The witnesses, how can they be witnesses if it's written in Persian, if the witnesses don't know how to read Persian? So how do they know what it is? I mean, just because the guy said, here, this is a loan document. Now witness by giving it over to the guy. How do they know that it wasn't something entirely different if they can't read Persian? V'lo yadei lemikra. No, obviously it's talking about that they do know Persian. B'diyade. Okay, but still, if it's written as a Persian document, the Persians, they write their documents on erasable paper. They didn't develop a paper that was not falsifiable, like nowadays checks. If you attempt to erase the check or you use a chemical to erase the check, then the entire check becomes immediately clear that it was tampered with. Okay, so that's called ktav she'eino yachol lizdayef. What they used to use in those years was gallnut treated. Okay, so they in Persia did not use gallnut treatment, so it should be pasul. No, b'de'avtzan. It's talking about that they did. Okay, but there's another problem. The other problem is that a Jewish contract always has to have a closing line that is a standard closing line so that anything written afterwards is obviously not part of the shtar. So therefore, every shtar ends with the, basically, the kanina, koma the kosev, et cetera, right? With a kol sharir of the kayam and so on. Beautiful. With a flourish. But that flourish makes it clear that you can't add anything written afterwards. If it would say after Akol Sharir Vekayam, it would say, and we were Mosif an additional $100 million that he's agreed to pay, and then the witnesses appear to be signed on that also. That guarantees that that can't happen. Okay? So that's called Be'inotzer Shachzir Min Yonash Ashtar B'Shita Achroin Avaleka. You need to repeat the idea in the closing line, and this is a Persian shtar, and they don't care. No, no, it's talking about Rav's cases where there was, obviously. I mean, otherwise, how could we use it? So then I don't understand. So then you're talking about a perfectly kosher shtar that is kosher on the basis of the Eid Mesira. So then why did he say you can only use it to collect from properties that are not lien to someone else? You should be able to collect it even, it's a normal shtar, right? So then the Alchemy Meshab Deinami. No, because you're forgetting. It's true that it's a normal shtar, but since it doesn't have normal witnesses, it does not generate a kol. And remember, the nature of a shtar, the reason that you can collect even from the chasim mishu'ubadim, is because when you have a shtar, you have provided protection for buyers. So essentially, you've created a title insurance. Why? Because if he does due diligence, he will be able to ascertain, don't lend this guy money. There's mortgages against his property. How do I know there's mortgages? Because since there were shtarot, people know about the shtarot. But that doesn't mean it's the shtarot they know about. What they know about is not through the fact that there's a shtar. They know about it because there are witnesses signed on the shtar. And that gets around, and the witnesses talk about it, and they like to put it in their CVs, that I was accepted by the court as witnesses to this. It's something that people know. But since over here there are no witnesses except these Persians, and we're not relying on them anyway, and it's all a question of the Eid Mesira, the Eid Mesira are not motzi kol, and therefore there's no way to protect a buyer. And the Rabbanan posseled any type of transaction that would create a lien without offering buyer protection, because that destroys the real estate market. How do you expect people to buy and sell property if they cannot do due diligence? Fine. So that was an early takana. So now Reish Lakish once asked Rabbi Yochanan, suppose you have a get, and it sounds like goyim are signed on the get. Ushmotam kishmot ovdei kochavim. So what do we do? Can we, like, just assume that they're not, and it's a kosher get? Or do we have to worry that these are goyim and it's not a kosher get? So now, the way that Tosfos understands the question, this is, again, opens up a whole new issue, is that we're asking both Aliba de Rebbe Meir and Aliba de Rebbe Lazar. So we're asking, according to Rebbe Meir, you need to have kosher witnesses in order for the get to be kosher. If you have goyim signed on the get, then you don't have kosher witnesses. So it wouldn't be kosher, Aliba de Rebbe Meir. According to Rebbe Lazar, even though there's Eidei Mesira, but remember that Rebbe Lazar holds that Mezuyef Mitocho, and these appear to be Goyim, is not kosher. But then you'll say, I don't understand. I thought just the opposite. According to Rebbe Lazar, if it's Goyim, and these are names of Goyim, then we don't have a problem with Mezuyef Mitocho, right? And it is here that Tosfos establishes a new concept or a clarification of what was meant before. The fact that they have Goyesha names is not called Shemot Muvakim. It's called Goyesha names that make us wonder, might these be Goyim? Shemot Muvakim are names that would never be used by a Jew, and therefore we're not worried about. But names that would hardly be used by a Jew are not called Shemot Muvakim. They're called names. And therefore the question was, what to do according to Rabbi Elazar about these names? Fine. So he answered him. Rabbi Yochanan said to them, look, I mean, the only thing that came my way was, you know, Lucas Films, George Lucas, he came around and asked about it. I mean, he was signed on again. And I said, Lo bali adenu ela lucus, velus. And I said that those gittim would be kosher with Ede Mesira, according to Rabbi Elazar, because no Jew would call himself Lucas. So Davka Lucas Velus, Shaloshkicha Yisrael, Damaski Bishematayu. But Shemata Achrina, other Goyesha names that might be used by Jews, the Shkicha Yisrael, Damaski Bishematayu, lo. That I would not have been Maksha. So we ask on Rabbi Yochanan Eitve, Gitin Abaim Mimidinat Hayam, to bring a get from Medinat Hayam that have signatures that are Goyesha names. Edim chatumim aleihem. There, af apish shemotem kishemot of dekochavim, they're kosher. Now here it says it's absolutely kosher, because you can assume that these are Jews. And according to Rabbi Elazar, with the Edim Esira, there's no problem over here, because it's not mezuyif mitocha. Why? Because Rov Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz, they have Goyesha names. So if they have Goyesha names, why should you suspect that these are not Jewish people that are signed? Therefore, we don't have a problem. So why did you say you would only allow Lucas? Now, the answer is obvious, is it not? I mean, as Rabbi Yochanan himself answers, well, doesn't it say? Hashem kedik taina taina. It says, b'pnei sh'rov Yisrael sh'b'chutz la'aretz, Shmotayam kishemot of dekochavim. That's exactly the difference. I was talking about a get in Eretz Yisrael, and over here you're talking about a get in Chutz La'aretz. So obviously that's not the same. As a matter of fact, there's a whole different way of saying over this thing, because this doesn't make much sense. Others learned that actually Reish Lakish asked Rabbi Yochanan about the very case in the Braita, namely, that it was coming from Chutz La'aretz, not it was in Eretz Yisrael, and it had Goyesha names, and the answer that he gave them was from this Braisa. And he said, since most Jews in Chutz La'aretz have crazy names like that, therefore it would be kosher. Okay, gentlemen, I'm afraid that I will have to leave you early today, whereas you're clapping that we're, thank God, okay, but I'm afraid that we can't finish the sugya. But Bezrat Hashem, I think we got ourselves a good handhold here in understanding what's going on, a clarification of the different sets of issues, and the intermediate set and the different possibilities of performative monetary shtarot, the difference between official courts, unofficial courts, and clearly the different gezeiros that were made in terms of the different places where you don't have to worry about mezuyif mitocho, as opposed to the different types of names that you don't have to worry are mezuyif mitocho. And we also, at the end, saw Tosfos making three sets, really, of names. Names that do not indicate being goyish, names that are strongly indicative of being goyish, and names that are muvhakim, and that would never be used by a Jew, and then the distinguishing between the middle series, if it's someone who's coming from Chutz La'aretz. Whew, that's an awful lot of stuff to put in your pipe to smoke tonight, so don't get too high. See you then, Bezrat Hashem, tomorrow, and you get to learn together. Go to. Hey.